Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We will go to your calls live in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air today, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. But as we get this broadcast going today, I want to share from my heart why I am so passionate about the book that I want to put into your hands. It's titled Islam, What You Should Know. In fact, I just said that wrong. Let me restate it. It's not what you should know. It's Islam, what you must know. Why do I make that emphasis? It is because we cannot make a fatal mistake. The Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Gospels. He's a mere shadow of the real Christ, a shadow that is cast eerily on the cave wall by the puppeteer prophet Muhammad for the 1.3 billion followers of Allah to blaspheme. You think about the big uprisings spawned by the notion that the prophet Muhammad has been blasphemed. And then think about the fact that Islam is blaspheming the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue. Why then, in light of that kind of blasphemy, should we concern ourselves with Muslim followers? The answer is we desire for all Muslim believers to come to a saving knowledge of the real Jesus, not through compulsion, but through genuine conversion. I think of William Booth. Many of you will recognize the name. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. And he was on a journey by train when he started gazing from the coach window and was led into a train of thought concerning the condition of multitudes around him who were living carelessly in the most open, in the most shameless rebellion against God without a thought for their eternal destiny. And Booth says, as he looked out the window, it seemed to him that millions of people all around had given up their lives to drink and pleasure, to dancing and to music, to business and all their anxieties, to politics and all the inherent troubles in that, the whole mass of them sweeping on and up in their blasphemies and devilries to the throne of God. And then what? In that vision, Booth saw a dark and stormy ocean, and in that ocean were the myriads of poor human beings plunging and floating, shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling, and then drowning as they cursed and screamed. They rose and shrieked again, and then some sank to rise no more. He saw the mass of humanity, and just as we see the 1.3 billion Muslims, not as a monolith, but multifaceted, lumping all Muslims together as fanatics and fundamentalists, not only serves to fan the flames of hate, it also serves to repel the very people we are commissioned to reach. In an age in which there are more mosques in Great Britain than Methodist churches, and more Muslims in the U.S. than Episcopalians, it's high time that Christians are informed by reason rather than by rhetoric. And therefore, it's my prayer that far from seeing Muslims as a menace, we begin to thank God for a mission field on our own doorstep. Again, towards that end, the book Islam, What You Should Know, it answers crucial questions. Questions like, is the Allah of Islam the God of the Bible? Is the Quran credible? It provides an overview on the world religion of Islam, including the militancy of the majority branch of Islam known as Sunni Islam. An article titled Submit or Die. An article titled The Other Islam, Who Are the Shia? And then Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, adds the Sufis, who are the mystical Muslims. There's a piece on Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, a cult of Islam. There's even an article on the Universal Brotherhood of Sikhism. It deals with their history and their beliefs. Why? Because Sikhism contains elements of both Hinduism and Islam. There's a comparison of the Bible and the Quran. There's an article on how to witness to Muslims. In the end, it is our sincere hope and prayer that this book will open your eyes to the reality of Islam in such a way as to inspire you to reach out to those souls imprisoned within the walls of the cave fashioned by the hands of misguided men, forged by the tools of deception. Islam, What You Should Know. Again, not should, but must know. Available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It goes on each and every day, all over the world, in many different ways. Not only the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, a going global initiative impacting the lives of many. Only from the perspective of eternity will you fully understand how your gifts are being used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, we'll go right to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up today, Nathaniel. He's listening in Nevada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes, I have a couple of questions and comments. You know, you and I may not agree in everything, but I think, like you said, the essentials are the ones that count. I think you are born, you was born in the same year that I was born, 1950.
That's right.
The same month, was it in July?
Yes, it was.
What day, 17th?
No, 18th. Close.
Oh, my goodness. I was born on the 17th. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, we were both born in a different country. I came from Mexico.
Ah.
I came from the old. Yes, sir. So even if we don't agree, these things we have in common, only one day apart.
That's right.
And saved by the Lord, by His blood. What do you think, first question, what do you think about the emergent church? I have never heard you say anything about that particular movement.
Yeah, actually, we did an article. It's titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. And the reason we wrote that article is because wading through the entire emerging church milieu is incredibly complicated. You have everything from the emergent evangelicals to the emergent liberals. And the emergent liberals are the most dangerous. They're controversial. They're not theologically evangelical at all. Three main leaders in that particular branch of emergent church include Brian McLaren, Doug Padgett, Rob Bell. And they are focused on creating a brand new Christianity, a Christianity that has little to do with the orthodox idea of Christianity, which comes from the Bible, which can be demonstrated to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. As a result of that, you have people like Rob Bell speculating that if Jesus had a real earthly biological father, he says, let's suppose his name was Larry, and then archaeologists find Larry's tomb and do DNA samples and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a myth that the gospel writers threw in to appeal to their followers. We would not essentially, he says, lose any significant part of our faith because it is more about how we live. Now, I agree that life matters more, but life without doctrine is dangerous. I mean, think about the alternative that Rob Bell is presenting. If, in fact, you don't have a virgin conception of Jesus as offered in the Bible, what you would have is Mary as a sexually sinful woman who conceived Jesus Christ illegitimately. If the virgin conception is untrue, then the story of Jesus would change dramatically. We would have a sexually promiscuous young woman lying about God's miraculous hand in the birth of her son, raising that son to declare he is God, and then joining his religion. If we're willing to disbelieve the virgin conception, we are flatly and plainly stating that the Scripture has mistakes, even outright lies. And therein lies the problem. This is what many scholars today are saying. I've mentioned on this broadcast, Newsweek, a hit piece on the Bible. And they're saying that the Bible contains fabrications and outright lies. Bart Ehrman, chair of the Religious Studies Department, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, same thing. No virgin birth, no resurrection. And the minute you take that out of Christianity or call it into question, you no longer have a Christian faith. Again, the article Navigating the Emerging Church Highway, it's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can check it out on the web, equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Todd. He's listening in Wallace, New England on Bot Radio. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have recently started listening to you, and the church I was raised in and Bible camp and stuff was all on pre-tribulation rapture and that. And so if I understand you correctly, you believe that we will go through the tribulation as Christians and then be raptured? Is that correct?
No. I would question the whole notion of a seven-year tribulation to begin with. Certainly, I'm not suggesting that there hasn't been tribulation in biblical history. Jesus Christ predicted that there would be a horrific tribulation, the mother of all tribulations. And he used the tribulation that occurred under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, he used that as a way of giving his hearers an understanding of how horrible what was to happen would be. In other words, under Antiochus, the temple was desecrated. In the tribulation that Jesus was speaking of, it would be manifestly destroyed. But my ultimate point is that while there are tribulations mentioned in the Bible that have occurred, there is nary a hint of a pre-tribulational rapture or a seven-year rapture that we can somehow or other jettison into the 21st century. Plainly stated, there's not a single passage in Scripture that speaks of Christ coming secretly to resurrect and rapture Christians for 7 years of heavenly bliss, nor is there any Scripture to buttress the notion of a seven-year future tribulation in any sense. What Jesus did say plainly and clearly, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. I've written about this in the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
Having spoken at the University of Tehran in Iran, Hank Hanegraaff is increasingly motivated to ensure that Bible Answer Man listeners receive credible information concerning Islam. For this reason, Hank has put together a special equipping package, which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And in addition to a special article on the rise of the American jihadist by Dr. David Wood, this offer also includes an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this equipping package as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They are about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special offer of the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus Dr. David Wood's article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And The Rise of the American Jihadist, will help you understand the real Islam. To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Morris. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Morris.
Hey, Hank. Really appreciate you taking my call. I love your program.
Thank you.
My question is to someone who would, to a Muslim who would try to compare the violence of the Old Testament where God instructs the nation of Israel to wipe out other nations violently in war-type fashion, and comparing that to the violence of the Quran and saying that it's no different, help me articulate an argument to that and that it is different and that we have a new covenant that changes a lot of that.
I don't think it does change a lot of that, though. I mean, the implication of change in this regard is simply obfuscation on the part of the Christian if they were to argue that way, as though the God of the Bible is violent and cruel and permits genocide, while the God of the New Testament under some new covenant does not allow those things. That's simply not true. A God is altogether pure, righteous, holy, and just, whether personified in the Old or the New Testament. Now, the truth is, when you talk about war, there are always casualties. That's the hell of war. And that's why wars are permitted by God the same way that divorce is permitted by God, because of the hardness of our hearts. And the biblical ethic always promotes just war theory. In other words, a war in defense of justice has to be fought justly. And therefore, we may kill a child if that child has a bomb strapped to his back, but we may never shoot an innocent baby in the arms of its mother. If you look at the Old Testament battles, the same principles apply. In fact, the reason that the Canaanites ultimately were expelled from their land, and that after God's mercy had extended for hundreds of years, is because they were committing the most heinous atrocities against other people. And as a result of that, God used Israel as the axe of his judgment. But God said to Israel, if you follow the detestable ways of these nations, if you do the same things that they're doing, the same thing will happen to you. So God doesn't show any favoritism or partiality. When Israel got involved in the most obscene of sins, God allowed the Assyrians to uproot them from their land in terms of the ten tribes in the northern kingdom, and finally, under Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, the southern kingdom. But if you go back to the battles chronicled in Joshua, they're aimed at dethroning the kings from north to south whose religious dictatorships not only mocked the Creator, but made snake worship, fertility cults, and even child sacrifice and the prostitution of women the norm. It was the depth of human depravity. And if you take that into a modern context, we are allowed as a nation to not only protect our borders, but to assault the evils of an aggressor. So during World War II, where everything was much more simple in a sense, the Nazi war machine was committing atrocities against people. They believed in the evolutionary paradigm. They believed in ethnic cleansing. They believed in eugenics. And as a result of that, they were gassing people. Because for the fittest to survive, it is just as necessary that the unfit die. If the fittest want to survive, they have to kill those who have less fit genes. So evolution is possible. So you see a ghastly experiment, and we had the opportunity as a nation to do something about that, to liberate people, including many Jews who were dying in a horrendous Holocaust. That was a just war fought on a just premise. And we can do the same today, but we could never do the kinds of things that are happening in the Middle East, atrocities that are truly barbaric. We could never do that and say, well, that's kind of how the God of the Old Testament did it, and that's kind of how we can do it as well. That's not how the God of the Old Testament did it. That is a caricature of the God of the Old Testament, and therein lies the problem.
Wow, that's awful. And take it a step further, though, and you know, if you look at the what it says in the Quran about killing the infidel, you know, is a Muslim who doesn't believe in that kind of violence and doesn't classify as what we say is an extremist, are they a true practitioner of that faith, or are they just a mere lukewarm Muslim who doesn't really? In other words, are the ones who are blowing people up actually the good ones who are following the book?
That's
doing it the right way.
Yeah, that's the operative question, isn't it? I mean, if you look at those who killed in the name of Christ, who pillaged and murdered, who were involved in unspeakable acts, they were doing this in direct contradiction to the ethos and the mores of a biblical worldview. But if you look at those who are pillaging and plundering today, they are turning to a book which allows them to do what they're doing, in fact, promotes what they're doing. Now, as I've said on previous broadcasts, it's a wholly incomprehensible book because it's a wholly human book and it's internally contradictory. And therefore, people can point to one surah and make one point and another surah and make another point, or they can say this surah is abrogated and that is not. But the Bible is a completely different deal. You can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. The problem comes in when people are unable to read Mosaic Law, for example, in its right light. It's kind of like Obama putting out Obamacare with a 2,000-page document and then pushing that through without anybody really being able to read its content or understand its implications. In many cases, that's the way it is with the Bible. You have people like Bart Ehrman who don't have a radar fix on the art and science of biblical interpretation or the interpretation of literature in general, making outrageous remarks, thinking he's very smart and clever, and not realizing that most of what he's saying is quite ignorant when it comes to simple literary principles. And because we live in a rather literarily challenged culture, these professors are able to get away with it.
Thanks, Hank. I really appreciate your time and your program.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan. He's listening in Iowa, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brother Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for what you do. God bless you.
Thank you.
I would just like to know what your opinion is of Dr. Robert Jeffers and his ministry.
Well, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity, I thank God for those who stand for essential Christian doctrine. I do, however, have a great deal of difficulty with sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, and I think his book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, encompasses all those things. The subtitle, I think, is disturbing, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning, as though he knows we're living in a particular epoch of time. You know, the one thing about people who try to read the tea leaves in this way is they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. If we were living during the time of World War II, people were predicting that this was the end of the world. If we were living at the time of the Black Death, we would have thought we were living in the time that portends the end. And throughout history, this has been one cycle after the other. And the only thing that changes is the particular nefarious thing that happens to be going on at the time. So to capitalize on the fears of people such that you can read the signs of the times into the text of Scripture by twisting the Scripture as though it's a wax nose, I think is a very serious thing, particularly when you take some of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he draws from the thesaurus of the Old Testament, and a greater literary expert than them all, he takes the linguistic utterances of the Old Testament prophets, and now he employs them to make a point, and that point is completely missed because these kinds of sensationalists don't read Scripture in light of Scripture. So, you know, these books come and go, people profit from them. In the end, it's just one more black mark on the face of Christianity, or at least what's perceived to be Christian extremism, or the radicalization of Christianity. And I think that's unfortunate. But again, as I started to say at the very beginning of my remarks, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. But in those things that are secondary, I think we ought to debate them very vigorously because a lot of people make life decisions based on sophistry, sloppy journalism, and sensationalism. We'll be right back.
As Dr. David Wood notes in Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect. For valuable and timeless insights into Islam and the need of Christians to better understand the theology driving ISIS and other jihadist movements, don't miss Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal. To say thanks for your gift, Hank Hanegraaff will also send you an issue of the Christian Research Journal, as well as an article on the rise of the American jihadist. To receive the book, magazine issue, and special article, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more of the answers you need today. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package, which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of jihadist atrocities. To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Islam, What You Must Know, as well as an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring an article titled, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And given how critical this topic is, Hank will include a special article on the rise of the American jihadist. The book, magazine issue, and special article are our gift in appreciation for your support today of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Understand authentic Islam. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone callers. We'll talk to Joshua next in West Jordan, Utah. Hi, Joshua. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good talking to you.
Well, my question is this.
the reason I'm asking this question is if the Holy Spirit can leave a believer or Christian on these days. The reason I asked is because I put an example where King Saul rebelled and disobeyed God and the Spirit of God left him. So I'm just asking if the Holy Spirit can leave a believer.
Yeah. Well, in the case of Saul, he was the first king of Israel. And remember, the people were clamoring. They wanted a king just like the other nations. And so Saul was appointed to be king of Israel. And Saul's anointing came as a result of God, but it left because his heart was far from God. This is a far different cry for those who are participants of the kingdom. Those who are participants in the kingdom have said, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life. I am baptized as a means of grace by which I recognize that I have been buried to my old life, raised to newness of life, and now I am part of a kingdom people. I'm a living stone in the temple of God. That kind of a person has received the grace of God and then needs to continue to go forward in grace. That grace is imparted to the soul of the believer through means. For example, the Eucharist is a means by which grace is imparted to the life of the believer so that they can experience life that is life to the full. The point being that those who are participants in the kingdom are those who partake of the means of grace, those in whom Christ is working redemptively so that they're moving from grace to further grace in growth, in knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the more we know him as genuine participants in the kingdom, the more we want to know him and the more we want to be consummators with him in the kingdom. And in that sense, the anointing will not leave us because we are not stillborn. We're genuinely born again. We are genuinely those whose temples have the Shekinah glory of God in them. So as we partake of the means of grace, the reality of Christ and the life of Christ becomes ever more poignant and powerful in our own lives. I think the thing that we must never do is suppose that someone like Saul or someone like Judas is a real participant in the kingdom or a real friend of God. You think about Judas. Judas was not with Jesus Christ in the inner circle because he loved Jesus Christ, but because he loved what was on the master's table. Christ to him was just a means to an end. So I think you have to distinguish between that which is authentic and that which is a counterfeit. It looks real, but when you examine it closely, you find that it's just like counterfeit money. Sometimes you have to take a really close look and see that the paper is different, the seal is different, the borders are different, the images on the currency is different. And by being familiar with the real, we spot the counterfeit. Well, Jesus obviously knew the real, and he spotted the counterfeit and even said Judas was like the devil. He pretended to love Christ but didn't love him at all.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
I wrote an article in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition that's titled, Can a Believer Lose Their Salvation? Might be helpful to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nick. He's listening in San Francisco, California, KDIA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
And I pray the good Lord give you all the strength to continue to do this excellent work that you've been doing all these years.
Thank you.
I have a question here. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Well, the Bible,
especially on the Exodus chapter 4:21.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you're, the Bible gives us both sides of that coin, doesn't it? It says on the one hand that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. On the other hand, it tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. In the sense of God hardening the heart of Pharaoh, it was the mercy of God that was the occasion of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Every time that God showed Pharaoh mercy, Pharaoh responded in disobedience. That went on time and time and time again. So he was prepared for destruction because that is what he wanted. Again, every time God gave him a chance to change, to repent, he hardened his heart.
Is there any place that you've written this that I could look at?
You look at Exodus chapter 10:1, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Jim.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. A Muslim lady was befriended by a Christian family, and the Muslim lady told the Christian lady, "It is so amazing that you were so kind to me." And she said, "And yet if my imam told my husband and I that we had to come next door and kill your whole family, we would simply do it." Is that the type of mindset that would be able to be considered a fulfillment of the Quran? Is that what the Quran actually says, to hold life in such marginal value?
Well, I think it's very easy to take the Quran and make it say anything you want because it's a holy human document. Unlike the Bible, it is human from start to finish, whereas the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and therefore the Bible's not self-stultifying or internally inconsistent. There's a perspicuity to Scripture that you simply don't have with the Quran. And therefore, many Muslims do precisely what the person that you were talking to do. They appeal to authority. And if their imam is the authority, then they will follow the prescriptions or the edicts laid out by their imam and follow that, because they're the ones that are interpreting the Quran for them, and they therefore appeal to their higher knowledge or higher understanding of the Quran.
Is it so then? The question, I suppose, is why is it that there is such a pervasive soft sell on true Muslim understanding of the Quran? Also, the real behavior of the average Muslim, is it because they don't know the Quran? They don't know that this is their normal expected behavior?
Yeah, I think that there are Muslims and millions of them who simply have adhered to Islam because it is a very simple religious structure to adhere to. There are essentially five pillars. They're not hard to remember. They're not hard to engage in. Their understanding of God is very, very simple. I had a caller on the Bible Answer Man broadcast who was Muslim a few days ago who said, you know, it's pure because when they communicate the nature of God, God is utterly transcendent. He is unknowable. He doesn't make himself known through the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's no such idea as the Trinity, and therefore it is something that they can comprehend. They can get, oh, well, we're fiercely monotheistic. There's only one God. And for them, when a Christian talks about the triadic one, one God by virtue of his essence, three in terms of personal distinctions within the Godhead, they say, oh, that's contradictory. It doesn't make any sense to me. And as I said to the Muslim on the air when I was talking to him, look, I simply apprehend God. I don't pretend to be able to comprehend God. I'm finite. God is infinite. So I simply bow my knee before God's self-revelation. if the Bible were to say there's one God and three gods, the Bible would be obviously contradicting itself. But that's not what the Bible's saying. There's a guy saying there's one what and three who's. And so it may be incomprehensible, but it certainly is not contradictory. And the further point is simply this, that I want to worship a God that is so great that I cannot possibly comprehend him. I mean, I don't get the universe in which I live in so many different ways. I don't happen to be a mathematician, so if my wife does calculus or higher plane geometry, I just scratch my head. It's all Greek to me. I don't get it. It's beyond me. But the fact that it's beyond me and it's incomprehensible to me doesn't mean that it's illogical or that it doesn't make sense or that it's silly. No, it's just beyond me. I'm finite and I cannot be an expert in every single discipline. So I simply recognize that she knows something in a particular area that I have very little sense about. So this is the essence of the difference or the distinction between Christianity, which in many ways is far more complex than Islam is. Islam is a very simple religion for most adherents to Islam, and therefore to convert to it is an easy thing for them to do. Again, it doesn't have the kinds of requirements that Christianity does. But the danger in it is, of course, the permutations of the Quran, which lead to distinct disorder and chaos in civilization when someone actually believes what the Quran says, or when the imam emphasizes what the Quran teaches in surahs like Surah 5:32-33, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his apostle and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned, etc. We've written about this in Is the Islamic State Islamic? The American Jihadist. It'll more fully answer the question that you've asked. Also, What You Must Know, Islam, the book, Islam, What You Must Know, available for your gift to the ongoing work at the Christian Research Institute, Bible Instrument Broadcast, our outreaches around the world. We're out of here, out of time. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American Jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints.
In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.